At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
It's the dictionary.
Hello, word nerds, and welcome to the dictionary. I don't know what sort of voice this is. I'm trying to do maybe something a little French, maybe something a little French, because we have some French-related words in this episode. Merci beaucoup. Au revoir. Okay, I am Spencer, by the way, if I didn't say that. I am Spencer. This is episode, it's F203, which is also theoretically, possibly, the 2000th episode of this show. Yay! 2000. Wowee. Okay, if we've gotten to 2000 in about 500 pages, that means we're gonna, I figured out almost 6,000 episodes. Does that seem right? Yeah, I think that seems right. Why not? Let's get into the words, everybody. The first word is the second form of franchise. Franchise. It is a transitive verb from the 14th century. Number one is archaic, and the synonym is free. So, well, because it's a verb, you would be freeing something. Let's franchise these chimpanzees from their cages, let them be free, and then they can open up more zoos and call those franchises. But yes, the whole idea of the word franchise is that you are free, you are independent from something else. I don't know how they use this one in context. Number two, to grant a franchise to. To grant a franchise to, so the bigger company would be franchising the person or the small group who wants to open up a franchise of their thing. Okay, now let's make a sound effect. Oh, we're going to be real stereotypical about this, and we're going to go, ho, ho, ho. Now we have franchisee with two E's. It is a noun from 1954. It is one granted a franchise, and let's just keep it going. Similar world. Ho, ho, ho. Franchiser with an ER at the end. It is a noun from 1843. Number one, the synonym is franchisee. So you can be a franchisee or a franchiser when you have been granted a franchise. Probably from the person who is our next word, but hold on a second before we get there. Ho ho, look at this. Number two, the synonym is franchiser again, but it is spelled with an O-R. So the franchiser franchises the franchisee. So they are a franchiser with their franchise. Let's see. Anything interesting about the etymology? Nope, not at all. So now we officially have to move on to franchisor. Yeah, you'd probably just say franchisor. Zor? Anyway, you are supposed to emphasize that last syllable. It is a noun from 1967. It is one that grants a franchise to the franchisee, also known as the franchiser. The franchiser, opposed to the franchiser. It's the spelling, the pronunciation, but also the emphasis that determines what word is this. So let's see. I'm looking at the dates. Franchiser with an ER is from 1843. Which could be either a franchisee from 1954 or a franchisor which is from 1967. The franchisor came after the franchisee, but they both came after the franchisor. Now we have Franciscan, capital F. Noun from 1536. This is a member of the Order of Friars Minor, founded by St. Francis of Assisi in 1209 and dedicated especially to preaching, missions, and charities. And Franciscan is also an adjective. So, if you want to go out and do some preaching, go on missions. Maybe they are impossible missions. Don't stop the blowing up from happening. We got to stop that. So that's a mission. Teaching people what you believe religiously would be a mission. In this context, also charities. That's my favorite one of the three. Charities, helping people who need some help. So if you're doing those, maybe you are Franciscan, because it's, you know, founded by St. Francis of Assisi. And they were a part of this order of friars minor, not the friars major, the minor friars. Yep, Franciscus, it's from Francis. That's all you need to know about that. This person had something named after them, which is pretty cool. Ha ha ha. Next is francium. Let's see. It's F-R-A-N-C-I-U-M, francium. Oh, the symbol, by the way, we had this a handful of episodes ago. It was capital F-R, I believe. Yes, capital F, little r, francium. Noun from 1946. It is a short-lived radioactive element of the alkali metal group, occurring naturally as a disintegration product of actinium and also produced artificially. So it happens in real life. It happens naturally. Nobody is making this in a lab. But also, it can be made in a lab. You could do either one. It says, go see the element table, which we did a long time ago. A long, long time ago, Spencer, Rob, and Jax looked at the element table, and they found that it was very, very long. Yeah, this is just comes from France. So did they, I assume they named this in France. Maybe on that element episode we mentioned it. I don't remember the specifics. Do I need to look up the details of the discovery? There was something about the discovery of this. It was discovered by Marguerite Perret in France, and that's where it takes its name, way back in 1939. Now, well, wait a minute. What was the year? 1946 is what this says. So they discovered it, and then it got a name 7 years later, I guess. Before that, it was referred to as ecacasium because of its conjectured existence before casium in the periodic table. It was the last element first discovered in nature rather than by synthesis. It was the last episode discovered by nature and not like making a thing happen. Let's see what happens when we put these molecules, atoms together. Nothing bad, I'm sure, will ever happen. Okay, we got to move on to ha ha ha. Now we have Franco or Franco. This is a noun from 1989. It is the franc of Equatorial Guinea, and it says go see the money table. So in the previous episode, we had franc or franc, but this one is a little bit different. It's the Franco. We got to put the O in there because the Equatorial Guinea uses it. Do they still use it? I don't know. They use it as money. It's a Spanish word from the French franc, so it's Spanish and French. It's the Spanish version of franc. Ha ha ha. Next is Franco again, with a capital F and a hyphen, so it's a prefix, and we're going to see a few of these words with this prefix. It is number one, French and. That's what it means. Franco means French and. Like the example, Franco-American, or maybe people say Franco-American. Which do you prefer? Franco. I don't think they roll their R so much. Franco-American. Number two, it just means French. As in, Francophile or Francophile, depending on how fancy you want to sound. Francophile? Yeah. All right, let's see. This is technically from Middle Latin, or it is Middle Latin, from Francus, which means Frenchman. Also, it's Lower Latin, and it means Frank, with a K. So I guess we'll learn about that in the next episode when we have the word Frank, and we have multiple forms of that. It's a very Frankie episode. Okay, now we have to go, because we're talking about Frenchy things. We have, here it is, here's our example, Franco-American, and that's the pronunciation that it says, Franco, but I feel like kind of maybe I want to say Franco-American? It's two words with a hyphen, noun from 1859. It is an American of French or especially French-Canadian descent. So, they live in America, maybe they were born in America, and but some people on their family, there's some of their descendants, maybe on one side or both sides, came from either French-Canadian or France itself, and so, you know, they're a little bit French, they're a little bit American, a little bit French and a little bit American, so they are Franco-American, with the very unnatural and unexpected and unrealistic rolling of the R. Franco or Franco-American? Do you identify this way? Are you a Franco-American? I don't think I am. I don't think I have really much French in me. I mean, I did the DNA thing, and I don't remember. I'm like a mix of Europe. Franco-American is also an adjective. And now we shall go on to Francolin. Francolin? Is this like a French violin? It is a noun from 1653. Any of a genus of partridges of chiefly southern Asia and Africa. And the genus name is Francolinus. Or maybe is it Francolinus? Probably not that one. So the Francolins are partridges. I don't know what a normal partridge looks like, but I do know that sometimes they like to hang out in pear trees during the holidays. And maybe and a Francolin in a pear tree. This is French from the Italian, Francolino. But it doesn't really say why we're using, I mean, it's, so it's Asia and Africa, but why do we have the French word in there? The Franc or the Franco part of this? I need more information about this. The Italian word, Francolino, but then the French took it, but is it French in the Italian word? I don't get it. I don't know. I don't understand. So we're going to move on to ha ha ha. Francophile with a capital F, and it ends with a P-H-I-L-E. This is, oh, you don't even need the E. If you don't want to spell all those letters, you can just take off the E right off the bat. I guess that one would be pronounced Francophil. So it's Francophile or Francophil, adjective from 1887. This is markedly friendly to France or French culture. Wow, what an interesting definition. Francophile is also a noun. So if you... Oh, and then we have francophilia. That is a noun. Interesting noun. So If you are very friendly to France or just the culture of France, then you could be called a Francophile. You would also be described as a Francophile person because you just love French. You are markedly friendly. It doesn't say anything about a lover of France or French culture, the language, the baguettes, the wine, the buildings, the smoking of the cigarettes. Did I say baguettes? Let's bring baguettes back. The croissants. You are markedly friendly, and I just love that. It's such a funny phrase, but it's so accurate, I guess. You know, they're trying to cover their bases, of course. All right, here we go. Now, we got to move on to... this is changing things up a little bit. It's Francophobe, with a P-H-O-B-E, adjective from 1855, marked by a fear or strong dislike of France or French culture or customs. Oh, I don't like it when they walk around with baguettes in their bags and bottles of wine and go have a picnic in front of the the Eiffel Tower. Because that's what they all do, right? This is very common. Eating cheese. So this is the opposite. Of course, this is the opposite of the Francophile. The Francophile really is friendly towards the French stuff. But the Francophobe doesn't like it. They're scared of it, maybe. Ooh, I don't know. That's different from what I'm used to. So I'm a Francophobe. I don't like Notre Dame. I don't like people just living their lives in a chill, cool area, I guess. I don't know. I'm definitely not a Francophobe. I don't know if I would be called a Francophile. Am I markedly friendly? Maybe I'm just normally friendly. But I quite enjoy it. I've been to Paris on multiple occasions, and I would go again. I would go again. Mostly because I still have not been inside of Notre Dame. I have seen it in person 3 or 4 times, and I've never been inside. So that is a problem that needs to be remedied. Okay, Francophobe is a noun. Francophobia, that is also a noun. I got the Francophobia. Keep those croissants away from me. Oh, they scare me so much. Ah! Ha ha ha? Francophone. This is an adjective often capitalized from 1962. Frank, let me just pick up the Francophone. Oh, the Francophone is ringing. Ha ha ha. Ha ha ha. Ha ha ha. Let me pick it up. Bonjour. Quel est-il-vous? Tout de fruit. Au revoir. A Francophone is of, having, or belonging to a population using French as its first or sometimes second language. And Francophone, with a capital F, is also a noun. Belonging to a population using French. So France would be a Francophone country. There is a good portion of Canada that would be a Francophone area. Francophone region. What is it? Is it Montreal is the city? Is it Ontario would be the region that's very French? Do I have that right? Correct me if I'm wrong. I'm probably wrong. No worries. I just don't know. Francophone. I just want to pick up the Francophone. Next is Frontier. Right? Yes, Frontier. I think that is how it is pronounced, give or take. Frontier. Spelled FRANC-TIREUR. Frontier. Noun from 1808. It is a civilian and especially a guerrilla fighter or sniper. And of course, guerrilla is not the guerrilla. It is the fighting guerrilla, spelled G-U-E-R-R-I-L-L-A. So wait, would they be specifically French? They're civilian or a fighter or a sniper. So I guess the guerrilla fighter or sniper is not technically part of the military. That's why they could also be a civilian. But they're doing military stuff. But it doesn't say anything about, are they French? Well, here's the thing. We must look at the etymology. Because, well, the word is French, of course. But Franc, in this situation, means free. Not French. It means free. And then tireur means shooter. So they are a free shooter. Maybe they're an independent contractor shooter, sniper. You hire them. They're not part of the military. They're independent. They're free. They've got a franchise, maybe, on things. So, yeah, that's where this is coming from. Let's see. Yep. The franchir verb is too free from franc. Right there. Franc means free. So, now, is that why France is named France? Because they were free from whoever they were with before? Let's look up just quickly. Why is France named France? I mean, that's what you do. France is named after the Franks, a German tribe that conquered Gaul, modern-day France, and established a kingdom there. The name Francia, meaning land of the Franks, was adopted from Latin and evolved over time into the modern name France. So they were the Franks, but does that word... Oh, here, the name Frank itself is of uncertain origin, but it has been connected to words meaning free, noble, or javelin. Javelin? I'm just going to throw my javelin. Be free, javelin. Go live your life. Have a family. You javelin. Interesting. So I assume the Franks, I mean, maybe we'll learn more in the next episode. I assume that they were like, we're free people. Maybe we're gypsies. Maybe whatever. We're just free. We are not tied down to you and your ways. And so I'm guessing that's what it is. Okay, so we're learning so much today. It's wonderful, wonderful stuff. All right, so Franc-tireur is a free shooter. Okay, next is, I think we finished all of the sort of Frenchy free words, and we must now move on to frangible, adjective from the 15th century. This is readily or easily broken, and a synonym is fragile. And I do vaguely remember, here we go, in the fragile synonym information, we had the word frangible. So yeah. It's just, you got to be careful. You got that francophone is very frangible. When you throw it off of a building, it might get broken. Okay, so frangibility is a noun, and this word is from the Latin frangere, which means to break. And there's more at the word break. Frangible. I think we need to be using this one a little bit more, don't you think? Because I think that we need more words. We have forgotten all of these old words that don't get used. And this is an old one. It's from the 15th century. And I think we should use it more. Fragile is from the 16th century, it looks like. So it's not that much younger. Ha ha ha. Next is frangipane. Frangipane. That seems like a more proper way to say this. Frangipane. Noun from 1858. And yes, it is spelled frangipane. That's how us English people would like to say this word. Frangipane. P-A-N-E, by the way. This is, ooh-wee. It's a custard, usually flavored with almonds. Ooh, a frangipane. This is French. It's a French word. And it means, frangipani? Frangipani? Which And then in parentheses, it says perfume, you know, which seems related to fragrance. And then it says frangipane again, or frangipane, from Italian. So is the frangipani Italian? But what? How is this connected to almonds? I mean, I know there's a marzipan, which has a similar ending to this word, which is made out of almonds. It's those candies kind of thing made from almonds. Frangipani? Well, a frangipani is a plant. But how is it connected to almonds? That's what I want to know. Almond paste. Frangipane is an almond paste. Almond croissant. Almond cake. Almond tart. Interesting. This is fascinating. Well, anyway, you should just know that frangipane or frangipane is related to almonds. And maybe it's a custard. Ooh, a custard. Let me just get my spoon and eat that custard. All right, now we're going to move on to... Oh, here. Hey, look at this. If I just waited a second. Ha, ha, ha. We have frangipani or frangipani. And I assume also frangipani is fine too. Frangipani. Or you can spell it with two N's at the end. This is a noun from 1675. Number one, a perfume derived from or imitating the odor of the flower of a frangipani. The species name there is Plumeria rubra. Okay, so the perfume. All right, so we have the frangipani plant, and I don't know why number one wasn't the frangipani plant or the frangipani plant. All right, that should have been number one. And then number two should be the perfume derived from that or imitating that odor, the fragrance, the aroma that comes from the plant. But now we have number two, any of a genus of shrubs or small trees of the dogbane family that are native to the American tropics and widely cultivated as ornamentals. And the species name there, the genus name is Plumeria. And so I am just going to assume that the flower frangipani mentioned in number one is the same thing as what is described in number two. Not entirely sure, but it's talking about this whole family, this whole genus of shrubs or small trees are frangipani. Okay, and then there's a perfume, and you just go, tss, 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 tss. Oh, look at me. Look at me. I smell like a plant. Smell me. Look at me. Hear me. Okay, so this word is from the Italian frangipane, which is from Muzio or Muzio. Is that a language or a dialect in Italian? I'm not sure. But their word is frangipane with a capital F. Okay, Muzio was a 16th century Italian nobleman. And so maybe this nobleman got to name this plant, this shrub, this small tree. And or maybe they made the perfume based on the plant. Okay, I don't know. I don't know the details, but that's how we got to this word. All right, and now we shall say one more word for this episode. Ha, ha, ha. Hello. Our last word is franglais. F-R-A-N-G-L-A-I-S. Franglais. Noun, often capitalized from 1952. It is French, marked by a considerable number of borrowings from English. And the example is banning franglais from French broadcasts. The French people, in their broadcasts, they don't want any English in there. Nope. We have been borrowing a lot of French words into English, but franglais is French borrowing quite a bit of English words. It's a little bit of a back and forth situation. And, you know, as English has taken over the world as the common language, essentially, you know, it's understandable that other languages are gonna take some English. And it happened so much that we have now dubbed the word franglais. Sounds like a dessert. Frangipane does not sound like a dessert, but franglais does. Maybe it's a, can I have a franglaised donut? This is, of course, a French word. It is a blend of français, which means French, and anglais, which means English, which is the French word for English. And so they combined français, anglais, franglais. Bloop, bloop. Fantastic. All right, here we go. It's word of the episode time. Are you ready? Can you handle it? Will you survive this? I think so. Today we had franchise, franchisee, franchisor, franchisor, Franciscan, Francium, Franco, Franco, Franco-American, Franklin, Francophile, Francophobe, Francophone, Fronturaire, Frangible, Frangipane, Frangipani, and Franglais. Okay, well, I am leaning towards this one, and what are some of these other ones? There's that one, too, and then there's those, and let's pick Frangipane. Frangipane. I think you got to say G. Frangipane as the word of the episode. This, of course, is the custard, usually flavored with almonds. Frangipane, frangipane, frangipane is a custard. Frangipane is made with almonds. Frangipane, I shall eat you now. That's it. Okay, thank you very much for listening to me talk about some words. And now you shall briefly hear me talk about a movie, which is Bring Her Back, which we just watched yesterday. This is the new horror movie from the, I believe, twin brothers from Australia who made the movie Talk to Me a couple of years ago, something like that, which was very creepy. Bring Her Back, I would say, is less horror than Talk to Me, but it is quite creepy, quite gross and disturbing at moments, so you got to be prepared for that. And, you know, it's worth a watch, especially in a movie theater where you get the gasps and things from your fellow audience people. Definitely. Ooh, and fantastic acting all across the board. Everybody was wonderful. And, definitely worth a watch. To be honest, I preferred Talk to Me, but, these guys started as kids making YouTube videos, and, they clearly have talent. So, can't wait to see what they make next. It's gonna be fun. I guarantee. This has been Spencer dispensing information. Not very Frenchy. He's not so good with the French. But he's picking up stuff from his wife. I did all the stuff, and now I shall say au revoir. Ha ha ha.